From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTVX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
To Stewart, Koivu taps to Niederreiter. He scores! Koivu has it. To Stewart, back to Koivu. He scores! The captain of the backhand, Niederreiter on the tip, scores for Minnesota, and the power play goal stretches the lead to 3-1. The Wild score into the empty net, Koivu with his second of the night.
Wait a second, he is slipping, because even on empty netters, it's SCORE! I think he's getting tired of saying it, because that's all he does is say, SCORE!
He's got to be exhausted. I mean, you could tell in the last couple clips he wasn't really calling the play. He's just waiting for the puck to go in the net.
It's all they do is SCORE! By the way, your Wild briefly held third in the Central Division. Chicago won, so they're a point ahead. Chicago plays again tonight. So they, I mean, Chicago doesn't play, or the Wild don't play again until Thursday. So there could be a little bit of a gap there, but they can still close it. The key is, there was a statistic, I don't know if it was ESPN Stats and Info, 99.8% chance that they do make the postseason. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Just get your ass in the postseason and let it go from there.
Yeah. You worry about it once you get there.
Yeah, and they are going to make the postseason. And right now they have, well, they're in great shape because they've got a 5-point lead over Winnipeg, the second wild card, 7-point lead over Los Angeles. So they really have not a ton to worry about when it comes to making the postseason. Just get in there and then get the work done. Anaheim has taken a 3-point lead over Nashville for the best record in the Western Conference. So that would mean, and this is not bad for them, the way it stacks up now, if they're the first wild card, which it looks like they will be, they'll get Nashville. I don't think that's bad at all, because Nashville's got a 3-point lead on St. Louis right now.
Yeah, that'd be a really good thing to get Nashville instead of St. Louis or Anaheim.
Yeah, it's much better. So just stay where you are.
And as it stands now, LA and Calgary are no longer worried about trying to catch up to us.
No, they want to get the third spot.
Third in the Pacific, because they don't stand a chance of catching us.
No, they're actually, Calgary's at a 1-point lead over LA. And if you are another team in the Western Conference, I'm thinking you're all pulling for Calgary because you know what LA is capable of in the postseason.
Yeah.
So you'd really prefer they didn't make it in.
And Calgary really has been a surprise team this year. Not a lot of people thought they were going to do what they have done.
Well, they actually have, if you take a look at it, they have 5 more scores than the Wild.
They got those young guys that were
That's not shabby.
Playing well all year, like Gaudreau.
Yeah, but you know what they don't have? They don't have the Dubes, Dubnyk. It's unbelievable. It is one of the great stories in sports, what has happened with him and this team since his acquisition. He's played in, what, 90 games in a row? Seems like that.
That's
the man,
that.
It's the Iron Man.
I don't think we've seen anybody else in net since 2014.
No. Since 2014.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Since that last time, a year ago. How are your brackets doing? They got their asses kicked last week.
One side still looks beautiful. Kentucky and Wisconsin. I nailed that
You don't have Duke?
No, I had Iowa State.
Oh. Well, I'd wound up doing 3 brackets. I did one in the Brad Johnson Bracket Challenge. Brad Johnson, by the way, will be among our guests today. Talk about his bracket challenge. I think he's doing pretty good in it. I did 3 brackets. One for that. I did a CBS Sports bracket, and I did the bracket for R. For us, 105, the ticket bracket. The only, not that it's a problem with ours. Well, it is a problem with ours. You only get 1 point for each win.
Mm-hmm.
So me having all 4 final four, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Duke, which, by the way, I talked to Brian Kursky, our program coordinator, earlier. Like in the ESPN challenge, I didn't see what the CBS one was. Less than 2% of the people had those 4. I have all 4 of them, but in ours, you get 1 point for a win. You don't get more points like you should as it goes on. I mean, and Brian made a good point. It's about, you know, whoever's in this, it's about them the most wins, so you feel like you've done better. But I like it where you get more points the farther you go. So in other words, if you win the championship, you're only getting 1 point.
Yeah, I could really use those points right now.
Yeah, but you could.
With Kentucky and Wisconsin.
I'm Now, I got the one I have, I'm not going to wind up winning it because you only get 1 point for the win. But I take a little bit of pride in having picked four, the right four. But everyone botched that. People had Villanova or they had Virginia. That thing was botched by a lot of people, obviously. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the other ones are all first, you know, the overall seeds. So I doubt there a few people would have picked Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the games, did you watch any of the games over the weekend?
I saw all of the games on Saturday and bits and pieces yesterday.
Good. Then let me ask you a question about that. Kentucky-Notre Dame ends with Kentucky. Great game.
Yeah.
Kentucky wins 68-66. And it happened again in the Michigan game at the end of the game before they went to OT. Isn't one of the things the coach how do you expect? You got what they have, like 4 point something seconds left on the clock if you're Notre Dame.
I think they had six flat.
That makes my point even better if it was six. I'm confusing the two games then. I thought one of them had four. Okay, but the point is, why does one guy dribble the length of the court to launch a shot that had no chance? Don't you look to pass it? Isn't that what your timeout is for?
He hides in the corner. Just run over there with a bunch of seven players chasing you. It doesn't really make much sense.
No, and also it's not like, you know, not every game is going to be like the Christian Laettner game against Kentucky.
Yeah.
When he was open the top of the key.
It's not going to be a Tyus Edney thing where he's just going to run the length of the court and score in 2.5 seconds.
But on the thing with Laettner, he had under 3 seconds, was 2 point something seconds, or is it about somewhere in there? But anyway, I just was surprised that neither team, and the Michigan State game, I think that one he launched from like half court. At the end, and it did wind up winning Michigan State, mm-hmm. but I mean to have a chance to win in regulation. But I just don't understand why you have no shot there. There's nobody else that you can look to pass it to. That's what it should have been all about, isn't it?
Yeah, they could have been able to find somebody because Notre Dame has a few good shooters.
Yes,
not just one guy.
So. But it was, I think the kid panicked, and he did. They played a great game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and this is something that I think Wisconsin will have an easier time with, and so would Duke. Because as good as Michigan, this run Michigan State's had is terrific, but I don't see them. I think Duke will win. Nobody accounted for this town. I mean, he was scoring at will.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they put on the ball inside, it was 2 points. Did he miss? I don't know if he missed the shot. He had made just about everything he put up there. So, I mean, you got to put double team the guy when the ball comes into him or do something because you're giving away 2 points every time it went to him. But that was, I mean, every one of the games was fun to watch. The Louisville Michigan game yesterday, that one was a lot of fun. 76-70 in overtime for Michigan State. The other Saturday game, Wisconsin Arizona, it was 85-78 Wisconsin. That Wisconsin team is pretty damn good.
Yeah, and they have somebody called Sam Decker that was kind of inconsistent, a little banged up throughout the regular season.
He has.
And it's about time.
He was.
They need him.
He's been terrific for him. North Carolina, against North Carolina, he was huge there. And, I mean, they all seem to come up big against Arizona. In the Duke-Gonzaga game, you didn't watch much of that one, right?
No.
All right, Gonzaga had a lead.
I just figured Duke would win, so I didn't need to watch and yell at the TV.
No, you were right. But Duke or Gonzaga had a lead early in the second half, but you just knew once they got it going. And Okafor wasn't on the floor. Once he got in, you knew it was going to get better, a lot better for Duke. And congratulations to Tyus Jones on making it to the Final Four as a true freshman, the point guard, the guy who gets that team going. Later this week, by the way, I talked to his mom, Debbie Jones, and we're going to have her on because Debbie had Trey Jones, Tyus' younger brother, he's a sophomore. He was a key player on that Apple Valley team that won a state championship. Now she's traveling wherever Duke is playing. She'll be in Indianapolis for the Final Four. I mean, it's a great run to have on, but it would has to be, and that's what I want to talk about. It's got to be nerve-wracking to be the parent when you've got, you know, she just went through the state championship run with an Apple Valley team that last year with Tyus did not win. And then with her, you know, her younger son, they wind up winning. And now she has a son in the Final Four. What a great run to be on, but my nerves would be frayed they'd be frittering and frayed. There's no doubt about it. So let me ask you this. By the way, we'd love to have you weigh in if you'd like. 651-989-9105 is the number. 651-989-9105. Let us know how your brackets are doing. But I want to ask Hellboy here. Anything change? Are you still? I'm still sticking with Duke. Are you sticking with Kentucky? Or did you see some fissures in the Kentucky that you think will open the door for either Wisconsin or Duke? And I'm still confident Duke will beat Michigan State.
I'm still pretty confident in Kentucky. You figured they had to have a little slip up in a tough game somewhere, and Notre Dame did match up very well the way they shoot.
They did
have an inside presence, so they were able to stick with them for a bulk of the game, just came up short in the end. And I knew that game would be tough for them. I still think Kentucky's going to do just fine. It should be a really good game against Wisconsin, but it might not be a two-point win. It could be 5-7 somewhere in there. I still feel like Kentucky's the team to beat.
Well, you'd have to look at it that way, but I think Wisconsin, I think they match up pretty well with them too, as did Notre Dame. And I'm sure after they watch this, Bo Ryan is not going to let anyone on that team, any of their big guys, just dominate the paint the way they did.
Yeah, Wisconsin actually has seven guys on their roster, 6'8 or taller. Not all of them play a lot of minutes, but they have big bodies that they can throw in there just to try and bash around
college
towns.
And you have them in there to bash them around and hack them and pick up a foul here and there, just to stop them from scoring. That's all you got to do. Send them to the line. Let them make it at the free throw line. Most of these big guys aren't great free throw shooters, although there's some pretty good free throw shooting going on over the weekend.
Yeah.
Some clutch. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's the thing that's just amazing to me is how when you take it, I don't know that these kids have a chance to take a step back and realize the pressure that's on them when they take those shots.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, they've been playing all their lives, and even though they're only 18 to 20 something, they've probably faced plenty of clutch situations in the past.
You'd think so.
How many? Are you good at the free throw line?
Yeah.
So
at least I used to be. Let's see what happens now.
91 in a row? What's your record?
No. Typically, I was in the 85 to 90% range for free throws.
You're on a 4-5-40, and you're in the 85. Why are you even here?
Hey,
why are you not playing
somewhere?
There's nobody
guarding you for a free throw.
Yeah, but still, you were a point guard?
I played a little bit of point.
You weren't a center?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, I'd love to see that team.
In intramural leagues, I did actually line up at center against some big guys.
Well, I'm sure that's because you have the 49-inch vertical leap, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I think it might be 49 meters.
Well, we got to send you to some combine when they come around. When they have a local one, we'll have to send you the combine and see how you do there. Combine football transition. Chad Greenway staying with the Vikings. Took a pay cut, basically cut himself from $7 million to about $3.4 million. It was, and it's not often you say this, it was a smart move for him and a smart move for the Vikings. The Vikings finally figuring out there's an advantage to having veteran leadership on a team.
Mm-hmm.
They blew it with Antoine Winfield, and I think I understand because of where the money would have been, but they really didn't make much of an attempt with Jared Allen, but they should have kept Kevin Williams. I know they wanted to get young guys in there, but Kevin could have helped them.
Yeah, Kevin would have been a tremendous help to somebody like a Sharif Floyd.
Yes.
Because he's been in there. He knows what to do.
He hated it, but put him at the nose. He was great at the nose 2 years ago for them. But this time, though, keeping Chad Greenway, that's a good move on their part. And Chad didn't want to go anywhere, and he wound up getting, I think, $1 million guaranteed out of it. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing for both sides, Vikings and Greenway. So I'm glad to see that they were able to put that together.
Yeah, and he still gets his roster bonus, so it brings his total salary for next year up to about $4 million. So it's not a huge hit to him. But
hey, he's a kid from South Dakota. I think he'll make ends meet. I don't think he's pissed away his money.
Which probably not.
Many athletes have been known to do over time and over the years. And by the way, do you know what... Well, there's significance to today because you know what happens a week from today? Your twins.
My twins?
Somebody's twins.
Oh.
The twins. Yeah, the regular baseball starts next week. We're just a week away from the greatest week of sports, one could argue, of the year. Baseball opens, Master starts, Final Four. A week from today, Final Four and baseball getting into full swing. And the Masters. It's a great week of sports. We're going to take a quick break. As I mentioned, we'll be joined. I'll give you Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press will join us. Kelly in Vegas will join us. Talk to her about her Final Four. Brad Johnson, former Viking quarterback, has a Brad Johnson's Bracket Challenge. A lot of his old teammates are in it. I'm in it. Mike Morris, superstar, is in it. Ben Holson's in it. Let's ask Ben how they're doing. I'm not sure how well he's doing. Jim Suen will join us from the Star Tribune and SuenUnfiltered.com. And Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley on with us last week. He was terrific. He's coming back not to just talk about the Saints, but to talk baseball with him. We'll talk brackets and Final Four with him. He's a sports fan. We'll talk to him about everything going on, and we'll be right back. We got a little Monday meltdown and a threesome coming at you.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
3-0. it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystery.
My wife thinks I drive people away when I sing the song with them.
I don't think so. It's the magic number. Is it that bad?
Well, I'm not walking out of the building right now, so it's not that bad.
All right, well, that's a plus. If you walk out at the drop of a hat, the sound of a pin. All right, three questions. I don't know who's asking them. Who's asking them? Let's find out.
Hey, Bob, it's Mr. X.
Mr. X.
I have three questions for you.
Hit
number
it.
One, with two teams in the Final Four, what are the odds the Big Ten can get their first NCAA championship since Michigan State did it in 2000?
I would say the odds are stacked against them because, and that, by the way, is a hell of an accomplishment to get two teams. Everybody say, you know, the ACC, blah, blah, blah. You know, but now when you have four finalists and two are from the Big Ten, it's a hell of an accomplishment. And kudos certainly to Wisconsin and Michigan State, particularly Michigan State, who no one expected to go this far. A few did. But they're underdogs in both games. I actually think Wisconsin has the better matchup and chance against Kentucky than Michigan State does against Duke. You don't agree with that, I can tell from your goofy look on your face.
I could kind of see that just because what we were talking about in the last segment, Wisconsin has size to compete with the tall guys from Kentucky.
They're not going to be intimidated by them.
You just can't rule out Michigan State.
No, they're a scrappy bunch. Yeah. They'll keep coming at you.
Trice Dawson and Denzel Valentine are three great players. There's one's a junior, two of them are seniors, so they have great leadership for that team too.
And that is key, and that's one thing that they do have. And you know, this Duke team is it's on the job growing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tyus made some great things. He had a couple of little things, but he was there when they needed him. That out of bounds play he made was terrific when he saved the ball. But it's I still think it'll be Duke, and I still think it will be Kentucky in the final. And I sort of got newfound respect for Kentucky watching them in that close game with Notre Dame. They did impress me because they did what they needed to do. The only guy that really was consistent for them was the big guy in the middle, and they kept going into him.
Yeah, I checked it. He was 10 of 13.
10 of 13.
Not
well,
bad
not
at
in the
all.
Second half. I don't think I think he might have been perfect in the second half because it was one. Seemed like everything he was putting up, because what is he, 3 feet from the basket on every shot?
Pretty much. He's got a tremendous wingspan. He's 6'11".
But also, if you're Notre Dame, how do you not collapse more than one guy on him to try to do something? They just he destroyed him down the stretch.
There's a guy to keep your eye on come draft time for the Timberwolves.
Well, because you know they're not going to get the first overall pick.
Yeah. We'll settle for number two and take Karl Anthony Towns.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. What is with all those guys? The best players on that team all have three names.
Yeah. They like to confuse me.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all married and they hyphenated.
That's possible. That's very possible. Number two.
Number two. Aaron Hicks, Trevor May, and Eddie Rosario all being sent down to the minors on Saturday. Which one of those three will make it back to the Twins roster first?
I think Rosario has a better chance than Hicks. I think they've given up on him.
Yeah, it's definitely starting to seem that way. He's
and May,
25.
You know, there's a pitcher. I mean, yeah, the pitchers are always shuttling back and forth. The one who I would have done? It's Mike Pelfrey. He got all upset because he didn't get one of the, you know, he's not a starter.
Yeah.
And to put him a belt. You know what? Then go out there and prove you deserve it. You haven't done anything with this team to prove you deserve it.
Yeah, I get the fact that he wants to start.
Who doesn't?
Do you really want five right-handed pitchers in your starting rotation?
No, but beyond that, you can't trust them. Build some trust in the bullpen, and maybe you'll get a spot start and earn a starting position.
Yeah.
I mean, they've invested some decent money in this guy, and he hasn't done anything to live up to it or show it was justified. It's not like you. You know, all the money we put into you. Doesn't matter if we screwed up, which some ways we did. No, we didn't. You're terrific. 651-989-9105. You want to weigh in on Hellboy or one of these questions. Preferably one of these questions. Go ahead.
And finally, Captain Munderland says he'll beat out Terrence Newman for the starting job. Who would you put your money on?
Terrence Newman.
Yeah,
I'm just not that impressed with Captain Munderland. He'll get demoted.
Doesn't that seem weird to say, though, just thinking about the fact that you're picking a 36-year-old? Well, yeah, he'll be 37, 36 in training camp, picking him over Captain Munderland, who we signed last season, to a decent contract.
Well, I think that's one thing that I think they whiffed on that one. I think that he can fill a role as a reserve or as a nickelback, but I don't want him starting. But then again, here's the one we mentioned this last week. What if there is a plan maybe to put Newman to have him play some safety too? Because at 36, 37, you are slower. than when you came into the league, probably slower than he was a year ago. So why not, you know, like, pick up the phone and get Antoine. He's about that age, isn't he? How old would Antoine be now, Antoine Winfield? Do you know?
I would say he's probably 36.
No.
Didn't we cut him when he was 34?
Oh, I thought you said 46.
No.
He is 37. He's the same age, for criminy's sake. He'll be 38 in June. Bring him back.
And really good corners can make that transition to playing safety fairly well. Saw Rod Woodson do it towards the end of his career.
Yes.
He was pretty good at it.
And that's why Newman's not very big, though, is he?
Going to have to look that one up, too.
Have any answers for me.
He's not a giant, but I would say isn't he 6 feet tall?
5'10". Yeah, no, what? You fudge on a little bit before you know it. But then again, if they say 5'10", he's probably more like 5'8". And all that playing is his spine's compressed, so he's probably like 5'5". He's like Stump Mitchell.
Maybe he should grow his hair out.
Yeah, Stump Newman.
Get a nice flat top going. And he's taller.
I'll tell you what, the guy's put together, though. He's not slight of build. So he probably could be moved to a safety position if that's something they want to wind up doing. Is that all three of them?
Yeah.
Well, that was easy. Now we have, it's Monday, a little meltdown Monday. Final Four, big basketball weekend coming up. So to honor that, we have one of the former national champion coach, right?
Yeah, he's won a couple.
It's not Bobby Knight or Bob Knight.
No.
Bob. I think he'll be Bobby to me. All right, let's hear who it is, and you can identify him at the end. We'll do that.
Considering that you're the highest paid state employee and there's a $2 billion budget deficit,
yep.
Do you think that's...
Not a dime back.
Not a dime back.
Not a dime back. I'd like to be retired someday.
Okay,
I'm getting tired.
$1.6 million is enough?
I'm sorry?
$1.5 million?
I make a lot more than that.
You do?
Yeah.
What's the
take tonight?
I don't know. What's the deal with Comcast for it?
You're not really that stupid, are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No,
my best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It was very polite.
No, it wasn't polite. I like you to shut up. This is if you want to talk to me outside, I'm more than happy to talk to you. We're talking about basketball.
If you guys covered this stuff, I wouldn't have to do it.
Will you please? Quite frankly, we bring in $12 million to the university. Nothing to do with state funds. We make $12 million a year for this university. Get some facts and come back and see me. Get some facts and come back and see me. Don't throw out salaries or other things. Get some facts and come back and see me. We turn over $12 million to the University of Connecticut, which is state-run. Next question.
That's Jim Calhoun. Oh, man, did you hear the guys groaning? Because he took a shot at the beat guys. Now, these guys do their job. Oh, man.
So these guys do their job, and that's when everybody's just starts going,
they wanted to kill him.
Grip.
So
like,
clearly,
what are you doing?
You know what he was? He was either some blogger or somebody who worked for a TV station. They sent him over there. Probably a TV station. Sent him over there to get the scoop. Now, I want to ask, you can get Golem here, right? You have a contact with him?
I can try. Hopefully
okay, I'm going to ask him one of the same things. So, you can make $1.5 million a year, and you think that's too much?
Not a dime back.
What is your advice to me?
Get some facts, and then come back and see me.
I love that, Calhoun, the way he just... He was not going to back... That's such an inappropriate place after a game to be asking the coach those questions.
Yeah.
But he was Scoop. His nickname was going to be Scoop. And you wonder why sometimes coaches go after reporters. I have pissed off coach. I mean, I freely admit, somewhere in our archives, probably is the interview. I know it's down at KQ when I pissed off Denny Green. But that was with justification. That was when... he wrote the book No Room for Crybabies, and in it he basically laid out a plot to overthrow the Vikings ownership, and they had played Tampa Bay, and I was asking him questions, and he got pissed, and it was a terrific sequence of things. He goes, I'm talking about Tampa Bay. Any more questions about Tampa Bay? Honest to God, it was 30 seconds, nothing. Any more questions about Tampa Bay? And I said, how about the book? Oh, he went nuts. He was so pissed off. But if you're going to write a book like that, you have to expect questions about it when you claim you're going to overthrow the people you're working for. It doesn't go over well with the people you're working for. So that's probably the closest I've done. I have told you I had one coach when I covered high schools back in Jersey who had to be restrained by his assistants because he wanted to kill me. I was young then, I wasn't going after him. I just said when he was the coach, the kids were undisciplined and unruly. But anyway, we're going to talk to somebody who's very disciplined, very ruly. Come right back. We'll talk to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press. Talk to him about the Final Four, what he thinks of these teams. He's covered two of them. He's been seen Michigan State. He's seen Wisconsin. Certainly has seen Kentucky and Duke. Talk to him. We also got on the docket Kelly in Vegas, Brad Johnson and his bracket challenge. Yes, that Brad Johnson. Jim Suhan and St. Paul Saints Executive VP Tom Whaley. We got it all. Stick with us. You don't need a diner. The luck of the Swiss. We are joined by Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. One and done. Saturday show with Hardwood Rob. Marcus, is your bracket pristine? Have you gotten any of them wrong yet?
I haven't gotten any wrong.
Yeah, right.
No, I think that I've gone the furthest this year with my championship game intact. Up until obviously the weekend, and I had Arizona and I had Gonzaga in my championship game, and they both got knocked off.
You had You had Arizona v Gonzaga in the championship game?
Yes, I did. I did.
How many?
I don't think I was the only one out there.
Arizona.
I thought they had the best chance to beat Kentucky, but now I'm on the Badgers bandwagon a little bit.
So you thought that Gonzaga would get by Duke and that Kentucky. Wow, was that now? Did you do just one bracket, or was that your like? Oh, I'll just throw something together bracket, or was that your big bracket?
No, that was my big bracket. I picked Arizona. I thought Arizona all year looked like the team that was capable of beating Kentucky, just talent wise. You know, Stanley Johnson just has not had a good NCAA tournament, but prior to that, I felt like he was a top five, top ten pick in the draft as a freshman. And I thought that, you know, their point guard, TJ McConnell, was one of the best point guards in the country, and he sure showed that in the NCAA tournament. But Wisconsin, I think they're just on a mission this year. I mean, Kaminsky, Sam Decker, I told people on Twitter, if I had known that Sam Decker was going to play lights out in the tournament, I'd probably pick them to win the national title. But,
let me ask you this. Do you predict now that they have the Final Four, do you think that Wisconsin will beat Kentucky?
Yes, I do. I think they have the formula to beat Kentucky. I think you saw that when Notre Dame gave Kentucky trouble. You know, the Notre Dame's big guy, Zach August, he really gave Kentucky trouble. He attacked them and had his best game of the tournament. And really, I mean, they were shooting the three-point shot pretty well. And I think what Notre Dame's formula was that they just attacked the bigs and keep them off the offensive board.
You know what, though?
For the most part, they did their job, but I think Carl Towns just looked amazing.
Carl Anthony Towns, and also, let me ask you this. This is a coaching, too. How do you not collapse another guy on him? They knew, I mean, he was killing them in the second half. Had they been able to keep the ball away from him or prevent him from scoring, they would have won this game.
But he did make some quick moves. This is a guy that he's just been blossoming before our eyes. In the NCAA tournament and really the kind of the later half of the year. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein today was named first team AP All-American with Kaminsky. But I think that no question that Towns is their best player right now. Their most complete player.
Well, let me ask you this.
Defensively.
Talking to Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, if you're the Wolves, would you be – I mean, Okafor is still the guy everyone wants, but it's not a bad consolation if you get Carl Anthony Towns, is it?
I wouldn't say that's the guy everyone wants. Jackson just came out yesterday, I think it was yesterday or just over the weekend, and he didn't – you know, he can't obviously name anybody, but he did say that he'd rather have a guy in the post with a little bit more backside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns just doesn't have enough backside to have confidence in Joe Jackson. So I think he would take Okafor maybe if the Knicks had the number one pick. Whatever that means.
Doesn't have the backside. But, you know what? I've seen plenty of men and women get backside after a couple of years. They grow into that backside.
I don't think anybody can have a backside like Shaq.
No.
And I don't think he had centers with much backside with the Chicago Bulls, but then he had Michael Jordan. But, you know, I think the Knicks, you know, the way that the lottery's worked in recent years, maybe the history of the lottery.
The Knicks will get it.
The Knicks will get it. The Lakers will get it. One of those teams will get it.
So that means
it doesn't seem like a good spot for number one.
The Wolves can do no better than third, is what you're saying.
You know, if they don't pick the top three, I think they're in trouble. You know, those top three picks, in my opinion, Towns, Okafor, and D'Angelo Russell, those are just lights out picks. But after that, you know, we're talking about guys who could potentially could drop into role players. And that's just not a good draft at all.
Marcus, because you saw this kid play for 4 years or for however long you've been covering the Gophers, where do you think Kaminsky will go?
I'm actually disappointed in where he's projected right now, even with this tournament that he's having. I think that he'll go in the lottery, but I just think, you know, if you're a player of his caliber, what he's done for college basketball the past couple years, he's an amazing kid. The post moves that he's been putting on the Big Ten the last 2 years, you just haven't seen a center with his ability to step out and shoot the three and able to, you know, the footwork that he has. And he plays a little better defense than people give him credit for. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. I just see him being a solid player in the NBA. And I think that, you know, anybody that picks him in the top 13 picks, they're going to get a guy to come in and step in and help right away.
And so, and you, do you see, I mean, 7 feet tall, but do you see him, that just leave him at center? Can he play, do you think he could be projected as a power forward? Where would you put him?
I'd put him at power forward, but I think in today's game, there really is no true center.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think he can play both positions.
But he's got no backside either. Got no back.
He's got a little bit more back, I think, than Towns does. But Towns is only 19.
You know where actually Kaminsky, he should be going with the 6'12", but a lot of he's got about a foot long neck, so a lot of his length is coming from his neck. Have you seen this kid's neck?
I've seen his neck.
He's all neck.
It's one of the most impressive necks in college basketball.
It's giraffe. He's a giraffe. He's a human giraffe.
You know what? I think that people don't, like I said, don't give him credit for his neck too much, and also right. Don't give him credit for just being. He's kind of, I don't want to say transcending the center position, but I think there's a lot of 7-footers out there that, like Anthony Davis a few years ago, who's shown that they can step out and hit the three. But his ability to put the ball on the floor, you just don't see that at the center position. And that's why I think they have a chance to beat Kentucky, because a lot of the big guys for Kentucky are just not used to stepping out. I think Colley Stein can defend him out there. But again, putting the ball on the floor, I think he can get Colley Stein in foul trouble. But he's going to be a matchup problem in the NBA, I believe, at that size.
And you know, another thing I like, I've liked many of Sylvester Stallone's movies. He's got those Sylvester Stallone eyes, kind of droopy.
You know, Kaminsky would be a perfect, I think he'd be a great guy in a movie that kind of pokes fun at the college basketball player, a guy that, you know, has a long neck, kind of dorky looking. I mean, you know, what was that show, a movie a while back? The kid that everybody was laughing at in high school, great dancer. I'm joking here. He's not a great dancer. It's escaping me right now.
Napoleon Dynamite? You're talking about Napoleon Dynamite? Dynamite?
He looks like a 7-foot Napoleon Dynamite.
You know what?
You
could make that case. But he does look like him. Well,
Dynamite 2 starring Frank Kaminsky.
I like the sound of that. Okay, now give it. So you were picking Wisconsin to beat Kentucky. Is that correct?
I'll put that out there right now.
And again, you also had...
I blogged that. It's not been on Twitter yet, but you hear it first on Bob Tanzer's show.
Yeah, I know.
I'll pick Wisconsin over Kentucky.
Well, you can take that to the bank, just like you could take your Arizona over Gonzaga pick in the finals. So how do you... you're sort of like the... You're the negative indicator. So how do you... I'm guessing you have Michigan State beating Duke, too.
No, I don't. I think Duke, you know, they showed that they could actually make an impact without Okafor having much of an offensive game. I was shocked. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I picked Gonzaga to beat Duke, is because I felt like they could shut down Okafor.
Yeah, but when he was out of there, Marcus, when he was not in there early in the second half, that's when they built their lead. He came back in, it was over.
Right, exactly. And they have not shown that much this year. I mean, Tyus Jones has played great in some big games, but as far as getting post production outside of Okafor, they have not had it this year. But Justice Winslow, he's a freshman that is just an amazing talent, both inside and outside. He plays defense. You know, someone wrote on Twitter that it's funny that all this talk about Kentucky, but Duke might have the more freshmen coming out and going to the NBA after their first year than Kentucky will this year.
Tyus is not coming out. You think he'll come out?
Tyus Jones has a chance. obviously Okafor, and then Justice Winslow. Those are three freshmen that Michael won and done.
Well,
I think only has two.
Marcus, you know what? You tune in on Wednesday, and we're going to be talking early in the show to Debbie Jones, Tyus's mom. I don't think he's coming out, and she would have an idea. So we'll have that. And Marcus, love talking to you, my friend. And you're at Saturday's One and Done with Hardwood Rob. You want to tune in for that, 10 to 11. Marcus, always great talking to you. Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press.
Appreciate
Thanks, Marcus.
Bob.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye. We're going to take a quick break and talk to Kelly in Vegas, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. You want to follow her. She knows her basketball, although I don't know if we should bring this up to her or not. Didn't she think West Virginia had a shot against Kentucky?
Yeah, she did.
At least with the points, or did she say to win outright?
She was taking the points because I think they just had to cover 13 and a half.
Well, it was only a 39-point game. I tell you what, if I got West Virginia at 40, I would have been all over that. Now, we'll be right back with Kelly at Kelly in Vegas.